What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up? This is Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Pick up our past episodes there. Also, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Get us at iTunes, guys. And leave a comment there and rate us. That's Luke the Bear. That's Joy the Girl in the studio as well with John Sampson. What's up, John?
The sky is up, I think.
That's right. See, it's British, it's not quite catching them.
No.
You gotta be
maybe
down.
One day.
Yeah. So, John Sampson.
That's
one of our most popular guests here on Apologia Radio.
Says who?
Yeah, well, a lot of people. They love you, John.
Okay.
Yeah, they love you. Yeah, and we love you. John came in today, as usual, with
your sunglasses?
Where were they? Well, here you go. Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. With another special gift. John always brings gifts.
Yeah.
We should call him. His nickname should be the Gifter.
Like Father Christmas.
Or the Giving Tree. The Giving Tree. I don't know. But the Pilgrim's...
You're barking up the wrong tree.
The Pilgrim's Progress, a guided tour, a whole set.
Samson Claus.
It's a Samson Claus.
Ooh.
That's very, very good.
Wow. It took me a second.
Speaking of...
I said Father Christmas because that's what the English call Santa.
That is very true. I could relate.
It is, actually. That works perfect.
Well Joy, done, Joy.
You're a genius. You're a genius.
Well done.
Good and faithful. All right, so
good and faithful genius.
Good and faithful. Well, dog, good.
You know the difference between a cat and Santa? A cat scratches and Santa Claus. not funny.
It was good.
It was almost.
It was delightful. All right, so speaking of nicknames, everyone knows we got a great show prepared for you guys, but we got to talk about this. Everyone knows we've had a conflict on this show for ages. Okay, now it's about
since ancient times.
Ancient, what I said. It's about maybe 5-6 years ago. I saw Luke 6 years ago. I saw Luke and I was like, "It's a big bear. It looks like a bear." Mm. And then Jerry was like, "It's a girl." And so like you know the
that
thing
was a hard
you know
one.
So that was
yeah,
yeah
that was
that's a girl.
That
so we did the show and so like everyone's like, "Jeff, you need a nickname." So I was like, "I don't know." Like you know. So I thought, well. people have called me in the past ninja, so I started saying, well, just use the ninja because it works. And I even have a very close friend that's always called me the ninja for like longer than I've called you the bear. And I have a special mystery guest.
Listen, I know who it is.
I have a mystery guest.
We already know.
Well, I'm going to bring him on right now.
We
already know
like
who
detectives.
It is. It's not a mystery.
I'll bring him on
we
right now.
We are like detectives.
But, okay, you only know because you did like a Google search of the phone number I said to
I
call.
Did. I looked up the area
that's
code and then
totally
I knew who it was.
Cheating.
We looked up the area code. There's only one person we love.
There's only one person in my phone.
I'm
going to
bring him on. This is
I love you, Mr. You're wonderful.
This is our mystery guest, Scott Murray. What's up, Scott Murray? You there? What's up? What are you doing, man? What's he doing?
I'm making toilet sounds.
Scott, are you in an appropriate place to do a radio program right now? Hello, Scott. I don't know. Did we lose him?
He fell in.
He's still there?
There's a lot of flooding in his area.
Yeah.
Scott, you got to help me out. Are you on the air? Are you on? That's it. That's
well, that's
it. Yeah,
Scott
he's there.
For you.
All right.
He's a mystery guest.
All right.
What just happened?
We're just going to talk. And
we'll leave him on and we'll see if.
Okay, so while. Speaking of flooding, while we're waiting for him to come to. I'm surprised you made it in today with all that wet stuff outside.
The rain from last night?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think. Is he on now? Scott, are you on? No, I guess not. That's weird.
So I have to let everybody know that last night you didn't bring your kids to the youth group because I'm going to quote, Candy wouldn't let me drive in that.
Yes.
Unquote.
Well, because I live in South Phoenix and the roads are a little different. Like there's flooding in the roads. Like a car wouldn't even go through. I had to take a different route like into my neighborhood because the roads are flooded. So Candy's like, you're not going out. And I'm just trying to be mutually good. Submit to one another.
Yeah.
It's mutual submission. There's the head, Jesus. Then there's the head of the home. That'd be me. Okay? And then there's the mutual submission to one another. I'm just trying to hang with it.
Hello?
Hey! Scott Murray, our mystery guest. What's up, brother? Can you hear me?
What is happening?
I don't know what's happening. He's there.
Scott. Murray.
He must not be connecting through. Anyway, Gil will figure it out. Yeah. We'll get it worked out here. Okay. So while we're working out, let me just say before he gets on, the reason I called Scott to be on the show today is because he's been calling me the ninja for 8 years. And so I hit him with a text yesterday. I said, hey, dude, somebody – this is – I got to talk about this. Okay? This is important. Somebody actually made – like
no
a film.
No, they didn't make that film.
Well, it was
was real footage.
I know it was real footage from Hitler.
It was even translated correctly.
It was. I know it was real footage.
It was
from
one of those
Hitler.
It was one of those Hitler videos with the subtitles. With the subtitles underneath.
Yeah. I know that
and
was
some of
really
the subtitles.
Hitler.
It's a whole conversation about how Hitler wanted to be called the ninja, but he was like, my Führer Jeff Durbin is already calling himself the ninja, and he's like, you. And then like Hitler goes off, and he's like, no, you can't make up your own nickname. Uh-huh. And I saw that, and I was like, it's on. That's it. I'm done. Throw it in. I said, Scott, hey, you know how this is my message.
No, see, the thing is, it was all over when you suggested it be your nickname. You may have not given yourself that nickname, but you didn't.
I also want to point out
that's my outrage face. Yeah.
I also want to point out how credible your witness is right now.
Seriously,
it's not going so well for you.
Okay, so I just hit him.
Yeah,
all
sure.
I said to
Scott's
him,
on.
All
Scott's
I said to
attest
him,
to the fact
this
that
is what I said, hey, you know how you've been calling me the ninja for like over 6 years? He's like, because that's your name. That's what he said to me. He said, because that's your name. I said, is he on? Scott, are you on?
I'm finished. Yeah,
just,
sure.
This is perfect.
Mystery caller.
This is perfect.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I just got some guy off the street. It's like, hey, I'm going to don't say anything. I'll set this whole story up.
We'll pretend there's technical difficulties.
You say nothing. I don't want any cross examination.
Except the thing is, I'm pretty sure Scott Murray has a nickname for me. So are we going to change my nickname?
This is going nowhere fast.
Is this a show for agnostics who's not sure if Scott Murray actually exists?
All right, while we're waiting for my vindication, my full vindication, why don't you go ahead and pull up some comments?
Okay, before I do that, I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
That Joy and I talked about on Monday night.
All right.
Okay, so typically...
This is another mystery.
What is our slogan for church?
Real Reformed Relevant.
Oh,
real Relevant Reformed, right?
Yeah, rrrr.
Okay. So this past Sunday, for the first time, I heard you say something completely unrelevant.
What?
That I think you lost most people in the audience.
What's that?
You talked about shopping at the Buckle. Who shops at the Buckle? Like, what is
did
the
Buckle? Did you just squawk?
I did.
Who shops at Buckle?
I'm so fired up about this. You're like, when you go to the Buckle, blah, blah. I think people are like, what, the what?
The Buckle.
The what?
The Buckle.
At the where?
Ridiculous.
What is that, like a cowboy store?
Yeah, nobody shops at the Buckle anymore.
And they have really great pants. Hey, Scott, are you there?
Hello.
Are you there?
He apparently can't hear us.
Is it me you're looking for? Oh.
Can you hear us, dude? He can't hear us. It's our connection to him that's not working, I don't think. Hey, hi. Can you hear us? This is very sad.
Yeah. Well, you're... Yeah, anyway, so...
This is so weird.
Oh, I was making
a
point.
Not a real guess.
Okay, so people understand, like, I'm not just talking
about... The Buckle.
I'm just not talking about my pants store, like, at church. I was making the point of an autonomic response. How someone comes to you and they're like, oh, sir, can I help you? And you're like, no, I'm just looking. Autonomic response, and now church.
I got that. That was with
And
you.
How church, you yeah. go to church, you're like, everything, hey, how you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm great. Praise God. Like, you know, you put on the God face, and really, you yeah. know, your life is a mess, and you need help. And I said, don't do that. Don't lie to one another. That was the whole point.
And then you said the Buckle.
You lie to the people at Buckle. Your jeans needs are actually being met, but...
Their pants are expensive. I'll tell you one thing. The story, the people are, like, they're vultures. Like, they will not leave you alone. They come over with, like, 10 different pants selections, and they're like, these would look great on you. I'm like, you have no idea what I like.
There are even 10 different kinds of pants.
Now, hold on.
World.
Are those tight-rolled?
We should bring that back. We should really bring that back. All right, in the midst of all this, while we're waiting for all this,
comments.
Okay, we're talking about the special kind of the giveaway thing we're doing. Hmm.
Okay, so we got some good comments here that are new. And let me just say this. We don't read these comments as love letters to ourselves.
Hello.
Hey!
Hello.
Scott Murray.
Scott.
Hey.
Oh, hey! There he praise is. The Lord. See,
I'm here.
Could you hear us?
I can hear you now, my friend.
Right on. This is Scott Murray, the mystery guest. Scott, that's Joy the girl. That's Luke the bear over there. You know
As
them.
As if he doesn't know.
Oh,
us.
Yeah, Joy girl.
Scott was Joy's youth pastor growing up.
Yep.
Yes, I was.
Slash WWF partner.
Yep.
He used to fight
when Scott was growing
up. She's pretty brutal.
She is. She's
oh, yeah.
vicious.
I can take you.
I did Ninja Can-Can against her weeks ago, and I thrashed her, Scott.
No, you did not.
Destroyed her.
Dude, I felt it from over here.
All right, so this is Scott Murray, one of our oldest, closest friends. We love him. And I hit Scott up because I needed some vindication.
Scott,
I need you to help me here. What have you called me that I never told you to call me?
Well, for 8 years... your name in my phone contact and in person has always been Ninja.
What? I just stood up so in the studio and I'm looking
person.
Down on Joy and Luke right now.
That's one person.
Yeah. My whole family. And I have six in my family. One that doesn't even know you who calls you Ninja.
Okay, the thing is you have
That's
convinced
not the issue, though.
Many, many people. You've
yes.
convinced our listeners. Obviously, you've convinced the Murrays. But the two people that you need to
convince,
the two people that you need to convince,
yeah.
that are sitting in the studio right now, you have it.
I've never called you Ninja.
What do I have to convince you?
I have
you
never
of?
Called you Ninja either.
If somebody calls me, I told you in school, people were like, "What's up, what's up, my Ninja?" And then
what's up, ninja?
Scott Murray calls me. And his all his children call me Ninja. That's all they
all
know.
All these
me.
Children.
All these.
Yeah. All these.
I have like a truck.
All the children
of
the world.
Truckload of truck.
All right, Scott, you stay on the line. We're going to finish this quickly in the next segment. And all I'm saying is I'm vindicated, officially vindicated. So if anybody ever says you made it up, Scott Murray, all right?
By your standard.
By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing we established.
That's one.
His whole family's like 20.
I didn't hear it out of their mouth.
We'll be right back.
Never have I been so anguished, I literally sweat blood. Never have my friends slept while I wept. Never have I seen a smiling friend and accepted his kiss, only to be surrounded and pounded with clubs and fists. Never been interrogated by those who hated me violently. They claim that I'm an enemy of God. Oh, the irony, you stood quietly, enduring slaps and spit.
cause the purveyors of piety find me blasphemous. Never had a friend that I considered my rock, that denied me three times before the crow of the cock. Never stood before a crowd who was unanimous and wanted to crucify me, instead release Barabbas. Never had a crown of thorns jammed in my brow, stripped naked while my captors mockingly bow. Never been between two thieves, nailed to a tree, crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I never will. You did it, so I never will. Father, thank you for your grace, so I never have to taste of death, because you stood in my place. I never will, and I never will. You did it, so I never will. Father, thank you for your grace, so I never have to taste of death, because you stood in my place. I never will. I never will.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. This is the Bear in the studio with the girl, Father Christmas, Samson Claus, and Nicky Mouse.
See, that's how a nickname works. We just gave him a nickname.
Like Scott Murray gave me. Like Scott Murray gave me.
Last week, we gave Elliot like five nicknames.
Yeah.
Skinny Chaps, ice Cream Cone. Yeah.
So I want to mention that song we just played is from Foreknown's new album that just came out yesterday or Monday. Ornithology. You can get it on Humble Beast for free, but I'm telling you to go to iTunes and buy it for $9.99 from my boy. It's really good.
Yes. Or Google Play if you don't have the Apples.
So, yeah. So I'm going to play. We'll be playing a bunch of songs from it this episode.
Right,
really
on.
Good. Anyways.
All right. Let's finish up the discussion with my very good friend, Scott Murray, whom I've spent so much time with him. It's just sick. I've slept in his house, slept on his couch, played with his little chillins.
Yep. That's right. The ninja.
Thank but you. Have you punched him in the kidney ever?
Yes.
He has, but he's gotten weak over the years. this last time he came to Chicago, he was more of a little girl than he ever has been. So, I will say that.
And I hid inside. I did the camp for Wheaton. By the way, Scott is a pastor at Wheaton Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, Wheaton, Illinois. And I did. I admit this. I stayed because I went in the wintertime. I stayed inside my cabin.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Like I believe it. I believe it.
Don't like the cold.
Can I just say one thing? I gave him a. Like a fleece jacket to wear, and he wore it underneath all of his clothes. He didn't take it off for the entire week.
Ew.
This is true.
Kind of gross.
Yeah.
I actually let him keep it.
Yeah, he did.
I actually have it in my closet right now. He's not lying.
You can't take something back after someone's worn it for a week straight and hasn't taken it
back.
Yeah.
Real fast. Like, I can tell a funny story about Scott real fast. So this is like a decade ago. It was like a long time ago. I had a karate school, and I had to move the location somewhere else. And Scott, I wanted to give all the couches away to the church for the youth to have the couches to sit on. And Scott makes it to this karate school before I do, and I come, and all the lights are out in the karate school. The school's almost evacuated, like everything's gone. All the lights are out, and I come in, and it's just dead silence. The lights are out, it's dark in there, and up against the back of the wall is Scott Murray with his face facing the wall. He might have just been in his underwear. I don't know. Like, and he had like a karate bandana around his head. He had every weapon in the karate school tied to his body.
And padding.
And he's just standing there with, like, if you can imagine, like with his face facing the wall, like waiting for me to enter like the dojo. And as soon as I walked in, he turns around real slow, and he's just covered in weaponry. And like, that's gone.
Awesome. And he officially challenged you.
Yes.
Oh, I did. And I beat him down.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, Scott can beat me. Mm. Okay, Scott, thank you for vindicating me today, brother.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's been a pleasure, and I missed all your faces, and hope to see you soon.
I love you.
I'm actually going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, you
soon,
are.
At the end of this month.
What are you going to be doing?
I'm driving out there with someone who's moving
Sausage.
Back there, potentially.
She's going to be out there lying
he
about
has a
my
farm.
Nickname.
Gobert okay. Farm. Gobert Farm. Well,
Gobert Farm
yeah.
in Barrington.
We go there every other day, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I'll see you.
No, yeah, okay. Hey, glad I could help, Ninja.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Scott Murray, I love you
oh,
so much, dude.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, girl.
Oh, shoot.
All right, bye.
I never will.
See you, dude.
Bye.
Love you, dude.
All right. Okay. Quick comments, and we'll get into the show for today. Big theological discussion on life in the body of Christ. Very important. And while Luke pulls it up, just to tell you what we're doing, John Sampson, you wanted to do this show on mm-hmm. life and the body and everything else. And it's interesting because last week we put up a thing on our page, what kind of shows would you like us to do? And we got a lot of commentary. We'd love some practical shows that really talk about, you know, this kind of thing.
Right.
And it was perfect timing because we had already discussed doing this show. So yeah. Luke's going to read some comments, and then we're going to get right in. John's going to lead a lot of the discussion today about life in the body, particularly life in the local body.
Yes.
And so, Luke, some comments on iTunes?
Okay. Excuse me. So as I was saying when Scott rudely interrupted us, no, we like to read these comments because we want our listeners to feel appreciated. You take the time to give us a comment and to rate us. So we want to thank you and read your comments. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
That is all.
Okay. This one says, I love how many 5-star reviews this show has, by Lizzie Abbey.
Do we have all 5 stars?
Almost.
What?
Almost all 5 stars. There's like one or two, like 4 stars and like 1 3-star. But no bad comments.
Hmm.
If you're going to leave a 3-star,
tell us
why. Stink and leave a bad comment. Okay.
Well, but 3 isn't even bad. It's like neutral. It's like, oh, I feel just all right about this show.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right, show.
I've heard better.
Okay. Lizzie Abbey. This is where it's at, guys. I don't think I've ever known of a church that seems as committed to living out the gospel as Apologia. The difference must be... Oh, my gosh. We're 2 minutes already. The difference must be that they believe Christ is king, and they live like he's king. They actually believe that greater is he who is in them than he who is in the world. The show has incredibly changed my perspective on who Christ is. He's not just a savior someday, but a king and conqueror now. I love how Jeff and the others on the show cut down to the root issues on Mormonism, atheism, addiction, and more, without getting sidetracked by lesser arguments. God is greatly blessed, and I believe will continue to bless the show. Please listen and support them. Yes, please do. Just don't be surprised if they take 20 minutes to joke around. Well, see, this is the thing. No, I'm just kidding. Before getting to the main topic, they will get there and it will be amazing. My only dilemma is that I really want young men to know, or I know, to listen to the show, but I really kind of don't want them to grow beards.
Oh.
I don't know how I feel about that.
She'll come around.
Okay. Finally, Some Real Christians by Dirk Lightstar. Cool name.
That is awesome.
For too long, Christians, when faced...
That's actually your new nickname.
With the idea...
We're calling you Dirk Lightstar.
We might have to just wait. We might just have to finish or something when we come back.
Okay, just briefly, too, I want to explain something. When we sort of thought through the concept of Apologia Radio, we thought there's so many great theological shows out there. You got Renewing Your Mind. You've got Dr. White's Dividing Line, which is a must. You've got shows like White Horse, and you got some great shows on theology. But you didn't have a show that was breaking out of the mold of the theological show, where we do prank calls. There's water cooler talk, lighthearted discussion, and fun, where you feel like you're listening, you're tuning into like a sitcom. You know, you're part of the life of those in the studio. That's why Apologia Radio has that. We want to kind of break out of the common mold of a Christian radio program and have something that's fun for you to listen to. Be right back, Apologia Radio.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
We walk around so casual and drive to act real natural, as if we're stuck in a Norman Rockwell frame. But when your friends are plotting, all the while the skin is rotting, it's time to admit that things are looking kind of strange. Now everyone around me is turning
all right,
into
so
zombies.
If you look through apologiaradio.com, go there, by the way, pick up a favorite episode, share it. But if you go through the archive of all the shows, there's always a really cool picture, and we try to make some creative titles of shows to identify what we're talking about on the show. And if you look through, we've done a lot of shows. I mean, all of theology is practical. I mean, theology matters, and it's theology that drives your walk and your life in God. You can't have a real walk with God that is coherent, makes any sense, and is deep without theology, because your theology is what drives the praxis, the life, and our practice in Christ. Okay, so if you look through there, lots of shows that really drive practically our theology and how we live out this walk with Christ, our King. But we wanted to do a show today that really touched on important issue, things revolving around church discipline, church membership, life in the body, those sorts of things. And so, John, I'm going to sort of let you direct a lot of the show today. You wanted to do this show. Why?
I wanted to talk to people who are, in their minds at least, full-on fire-breathing Christians, but they have little to no relationship with the local church. And that's an anomaly in church history, in the sense that the reformers and those either before or since wouldn't recognize someone who claimed to be a Christian who didn't have a relationship with the local church. I remember in my own experience when I came to Christ as a teenager, it was a Sunday night, and I did all they asked me to do, raise my hand, walk the aisle, sign the card, and then I thought I was done. And then on the way out, this greeter said, well, see you next week. And I thought, see you next week? Haven't I done enough? I mean, I've been in this service for, it was actually about 2.5 hours. I thought, that's it. I've made my commitment, and my commitment is to Christ. What is my relationship with the church? And it's only over a period of time that the Lord began to show me that church is where God has decreed the Christian should grow, that in his love, he has provided not only salvation for the individual, but a nurturing process in the local church. And without it, we are not going to grow the way God intended. God would certainly have commissioned something else if he had so decreed, but he has not. And he's given the church to us as a relationship that will inspire, grow, will take away the rough edges of our life, that we can't even do the Christianity we read of in the New Testament without the local church. We can't even do the love one another's by ourselves. And so I wanted to talk about that because I think a lot of Christians are very fuzzy, because a lot of pastors are not prepared or don't have the guts to talk about this, because we're in a consumer-driven society that says, what's in it for me? And we don't realize what Christ has ordered.
Yeah, that is something that has always been a topic that I've brought up to, say, groups of people that maybe don't have a lot of experience or communicate, never had any communication with church whatsoever. They never raised up in the church. I've always tried to express this. I always say, let me challenge you on something. I want you to find for me in the scriptures, go ahead and look through them, and I challenge you on this. Find for me a description of a person in the scriptures, or someone that's identified or talked about or to in the scriptures, that exists outside of God's people, that is growing in thriving, deep, intimate, obedient relationship with God, that exists outside of the people of God. Show me the description of that person, or show me the discussion to that person, towards that person, in the scriptures. You won't find it. It's not there.
Right.
Everything is toward the people of God, assuming that they are gathered together in community with each other, under authority, those sorts of things. And there's a reason for that. The Spirit of God is indwelling God's people, and Christ is sanctifying the church, his bride. God is doing his work in the bride. So if God is changing and transforming the people of God by way of his Spirit, how do I change, and how am I sanctified? How am I transformed when I exist outside of that life-giving work of the Spirit in the body of Christ?
Yeah. For many people, they say, I'm not into organized religion. And my response is, so you're into the disorganized kind? Who gets to define our preferences about church? Is it you? Is it me? Is it anyone? Or does God have anything to say about it? And I believe he does. He's made it very clear what church is, what it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to function. And if there is a God, and there is, and he defines how he is to be worshipped, and he has, how does that affect our so-called preferences? What we think we want when we go to a church. I want this in the church. I want music to be like this. I want this sermon not to last longer than this. We're coming with our consumer mentality to something that God says, excuse me, from ancient times, from the tabernacle to today, I define how I will be worshipped.
Yeah.
I'll define the color of the curtains in the tabernacle. I'll define all of it, because it's my church. And Jesus said, I'll build my church.
Wow. Very good. All right, guys, more with John Sampson. Joy the kitty cat. Look at your shirt. She's wearing a kitty cat on her shirt today, guys.
Radio. We'll be right back.
Show of hands. Sticks and stones can make a broken man. But it's words that'll choke you, smother and enslave you. And if you let it, it'll break you. They just want to see you crash and burn. They just want to see you crash and burn. They just want to see you crash and burn. They just want to see you crash and burn.
sound familiar? Show of hands, sticks and stones can make
all right, y'all. We're back. Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Hey, listen, this is the time right now to support the work of Apologia Church by giving. You can do so at apologiaradio.com. You can give there, click the donate tab. We have right now the very special thing we're doing before September 1st. September 1st is the final date for the donation drive. We're asking you to give and to ask 10 friends to like Apologia Radio on Facebook, and then we're asking you also to share your favorite episode of Apologia Radio on your social media. And for every $25 you give from now until September 1st, you're going to go into a raffle for every $25 where we are going to fly you out round trip. We're going to put you up in a hotel, and we are, yeah, one way. We're going to fly out one way, and then that's it. You're on your own. We're going to put you up in a hotel. We're going to take you to Fogo
de Chao. You're going to stay with us forever.
Meat Fest. We'll call it Meat Fest 2014. You get to hang out with Luke and Joy and me at Fogo de Chao. We're going to eat dinner together. You're going to be in the studio with us, all that stuff. Okay, and Luke's going to tell you in a little while. We'll do next segment a little special offer we're having on top of that. Luke, quick thing. I skipped my bad guys. Sorry, Dirk, Lightstar. I really apologize. I was so excited to get to hear John talk to us that I totally skipped listening to your comment. So briefly, we'll do your comment.
Okay, so again, the subject was Finally Some Real Christians by Dirk Lightstar. For too long, Christians, when faced with the idea of tolerance, have just said nothing and are content with just loving people. This is not what the Christians should be doing, and the people on Apologia get it right. They stand up for biblical truth and step into the world to defend those truths. They offer deep, deep theological content into current issues, and while also keeping the listeners engaged with their humor. But there is one problem. Joy hasn't seen the apostle yet. But don't worry, Joy, I'm praying for you.
I'm praying for you.
Thanks, Dirk.
Jeff, did you write that? I know.
I absolutely did not.
I know that your nickname has been Dirk Lightstar for like 5 minutes. I just thought maybe.
Nice.
Did Sky Murray call you that?
Okay. Nice.
You've been in my contacts as Dirk Lightstar for like 30
You're
seconds.
So ridiculous. I don't even know what to say to you.
I'm putting you in there right now. Okay, two more comments real quick. Here It Is by Mark Terborg, and I know him. He's back in Indiana. Jeff, Luke, and Joy of Apologia Radio have been the vehicle that God used to open my eyes on so many biblical truths. I've now switched from A-mill to post-mill. What? After listening to several episodes on the subjects and reading a couple of Uncle Gary DeMar's books. He didn't say Uncle Gary. I said that. We just had dinner with Uncle Gary. He's awesome.
We did.
I've switched from believing that the laws of God set in the Old Testament didn't really apply to us that much today, to see that they are the standard for justice and righteousness that all forms of government should adhere to. Jeff walking through Romans so many times has greatly prepared and equipped me to teach our high school Sunday school class this year. He says, please pray for me in all caps. As well as any discussion in our youth group that may arise this year on such a variety of important topics that Apologia Radio covers so masterfully. Apologia Radio has greatly increased my yearning to share the gospel with others and have been used by God to have discussions with a Mormon, a Jew, and fellow atheists, and have been looking for more opportunities to share the gospel with coworkers and neighbors. The content of Apologia Radio is fantastic, with so much biblical truth in such an enjoyable format and atmosphere. Thank you for all you do, and keep up the great work. Don't get a big head now. Don't want any destruction to come upon you. Smiley face.
Good advice.
Just wanted to share how God has used you to change my life. Thanks. Thanks, Mark.
Cool. Let's save that last comment.
Okay.
And then also your thing you're going to talk about, special things for the next
Got it.
Segment. All right. So this actually brings us to something really interesting, John, where I think this show will be very helpful. I don't think you realize that, but you're going to be talking to a lot of people right now, and I don't even know how many, that I've had moments with over the last year that listen to the stuff from Apologia Church on our YouTube, the sermons. If I speak at a conference, they listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
The radio show, they listen to it all the time. But they are not connected to a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done my very best when I am in communication with some of these people that have contacted me to say, we need to get you into a local church. You've got to be in a local church. Because here's the deal, and for everyone listening, and I want John to pick up on this, I am honored and grateful that God is using this ministry to bless you, to encourage you, to equip you, to train you. But it's about Christ. It has nothing to do with us, first mm-hmm. and foremost. But this is really important. This is not church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You listening to Apologia Radio and being blessed by it.
Listening to sermons mm-hmm. is not church.
No, it's
online,
not.
If, you know, it's the gathered assembly in Scripture.
Yeah, and so let's get into this discussion. But with that in mind, right now we're going to be speaking to lots of people that God is genuinely using the ministry of Apologia Church yes. to transform. But there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not connected to a local body. And my fear is that people will get really blessed with a lot of this teaching, a lot of the guests like yourself that we've had on, but they will not experience the life in the body. And I would say this, they're living in sin
mm-hmm.
if they're not really working to get connected to a solid body and being under the authority of pastors and elders. That's a sinful choice. To not get connected to a body like that. So let's talk about
Talk about the why of that, because that's a strong statement, and people will often think we're saying that because we're pastors. You're a local pastor. I am here in Phoenix as well with King's Church. But why do we get to that statement? It's sin not to be part of a local church. Well, part of it is we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he is Lord, and we believe that when he speaks with absolute authority. And we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God. Jesus wasn't sitting around the campfire one day and says, now, I'm going to say something now. Matthew, dip your quill in pig's blood because I want this to be red and stand out from the rest of the Scriptures. You know?
That's a good one.
When Jesus says things, it's absolutely authoritative. And it's just as authoritative when Paul says it and writes it and Peter says it and John says it, because these were apostles, and when they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that is Jesus, through his apostles, speaking to us. I don't think we quite grasp that. Jesus has a church. How do we recognize it? Well, it's built upon what he said. He's building his church. In fact, when you look at the word church, it's the Greek word ekklesia. I'm sure we have heard that mm-hmm. term. And this study is something called ecclesiology, which just means the study of the church. And Jesus used the phrase ecclesia just twice in all of the Gospels, both in Matthew. First of all, he said, I will build my church. You remember Peter had the revelation of who he was. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And on this rock, I will build my church. I believe it's the rock of revelation concerning who he is. I will build my church. Jesus promises to build no other earthly institution but the church. And you look through Ephesians, and he gives himself for the church. He's on an active mission to secure the salvation of the people of God called the church. He sums up his entire mission as, I'm building my church. I will do it. I will accomplish it. Then the second place where you see that phrase or that word ecclesia is in Matthew 18, which is an unusual parking space for a verse like that, when Jesus simply says, tell it to the church. Now, in the context, it's discipline. It's people in authority dealing with problems in the people of God, within the believing community. And someone has an issue with someone, go tell the person. If that doesn't work, take someone with you. If that doesn't work and they're still unrepentant, the Bible says, tell it to the church. And that's Jesus speaking. And it came to me to just look at that scripture and what it's saying. That makes no sense whatsoever unless there's something called church membership, unless there's something called church discipline. And so Jesus is sanctioning the right conduct amongst the people of God, and that there be a people in authority who will say, you know what, that cannot continue here. For the protection and nurture of the body, we have to put you out of the church. To be put out means you were once in. And you look through the scriptures, and I come from a background where I did not believe in church membership. I thought, you know, we're all individuals. We come to the church. People know who we're part of, and, you know, the people that show up every week. And yet I was reading Hebrews 13 one day, and there it says, let me just turn to it. So I'm rather than quoting it, just saying it the way it's actually read. And I don't want to make any mistakes on this one. Hebrews 13, where Jesus, through the author of Hebrews, is speaking to us. And I hope we get that. You can't say, I love Jesus, and say, you know, but I don't like this Paul guy. Mm. Or I don't like, you know, some of the New Testament. I remember sitting next to a Christian, so-called, in a youth service, and there were pages and statements of the Bible where when I looked at the Bible, as a lady, she was about 3 months older than me and the Lord, they were actually cut out. And I said, what, how come your Bible has kind of scissors where you've used scissors to cut parts of the Bible? She says, I cut out the parts I don't agree with. I'd never seen someone say that so blatantly. But I think a lot of people do that in their minds and say, that's just Paul. That's just the writer of Hebrews. But Hebrews 13, and I hope we'll just take this on board. Hebrews 13, it says, let me find it here. You know, I can't find it because I'm in chapter 12. They moved it. There it is, chapter 13, verse 17. Now hear this. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. There's several things that come out of that, and one of them is the leaders know who they're responsible for, and the people know who their leaders are.
Yes.
You can't get around it. Obey your leaders, not obey the guy you hear on radio or the CD or DVD guy that you enjoy most, yeah. But there's personal relationship here. Someone comes to the leader and says, you know what, you're my pastor. I want you to know, I want you to watch over my soul.
Yes.
And I take that so seriously that if someone comes and says, John Sampson, I want you to be my pastor, for however long that person is under my ministry, I know I'm absolutely responsible. That doesn't mean I share in their sin. That means I'm responsible for their spiritual well-being, to put the right teaching in front of them, to nurture them. I take that so seriously because I know that one day I'll stand before Jesus and mm-hmm. says, all right, you had Mary Smith under your ministry for 3 years, 4 months, 18 days. What did you do with her? Did you watch over her soul? What did you do to nurture her? I take that very, very seriously. And when they say move to another state or I'm releasing them to another pastor, I don't want to just release them into midair, but I want to release them into the care and nurture of another group of elders who will then be responsible for them for the time that they're under their ministry. And to have Hebrews 13:17 function in the life of any Christian, there has to be a relationship with the local church.
Yeah, that's really important. To let's hang on that for a second. First of all, it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. It's very terrifying.
We're pastors.
It scares me.
It should scare us.
Yes, mm-hmm.
It should scare us. And we have to give an account to the Lord.
Yes.
As saved people,
yes.
Forgiven with no condemnation, we have to give an account for how we've handled his people. And so a really important thing is about church membership being part of a local body. In light of this passage, you made a point, your leaders, so you know who they are.
Yeah.
They know who you are. They know that they're responsible for your care. How do you obey Scripture and live life in Christ neglecting this passage? Mm. Who's watching over your soul?
Yeah.
And the important part of even church membership
is
the important part of church membership is I have people contact me from all over, John. From all over the world, and particularly all over Arizona. They contact me on a regular basis, and they ask me questions. Pastor Jeff, can you help me? Pastor Jeff, I'm struggling. Pastor Jeff, I'm in the hospital. Pastor Jeff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my heart goes out to you, and I want to serve in any way I can, but you're not under my care.
That's right.
Whose care are you under? So first question I ask, first thing I say is, oh, I'll pray for you, but who's your pastor?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll typically say something like this in some of these mega churches. Well, I go to such and such church, but I don't know him. He doesn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle with that.
Yep.
So you're going to a different church, but you want my care.
Mm-hmm.
My answer generally is start coming to Apologia Church.
Mm-hmm.
Become a member of this church. Mm-hmm. If you truly consider me your pastor,
yes.
Then allow me to be your pastor. I don't want to steal sheep.
Absolutely.
But it's a weird scenario to be in, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be responsible, to have a leader, all those different things. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know? actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward. Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. realharmony.org.
All right, guys, back at Apologia Radio. John Samson. What do we call him?
Samson Claus.
Sinter Claus Kapuncha. What do we call him? Father Christmas?
Or Samson Claus.
Samson Claus. I like Samson Claus. That's good. He's always bringing the gifts.
A little more personal.
I like that very much. All right, guys. And that's Joy the Girl, Luke the Bear. We're back on Apologia Radio. Big discussion about the church, membership, church discipline even. And real quick before we go into that, let's get this last comment here. And Gil, kick me up again. Okay. All right. Luke, get that comment in. I don't know. Sometimes my mouth does not work. Like on Wednesday early, I'm like, I'm talking about choose, cheap.
Cheap.
Jesus had his cheap. I have a struggle sometimes with my mouth.
Okay. So I'm thinking, I think it's supposed to say throw down in Phoenix, but it says through down in Phoenix. Maybe your mouth wrote it. by Titus Sibbs, I think it was. Anyways, he said, I've enjoyed the podcast.
I've enjoyed.
I see Joy laughing through my proverbial vision. And
proverbial vision. So,
okay.
How's your Jerry. Proverbial vision?
Jerry. What's Jerry for you?
Jerry
Cook. Yeah. Okay. I've enjoyed. No, I can't say. I have enjoyed this podcast and have been making my way through the back issues and always looking forward to the next. A great blend of biblical theology and practical application. At times very challenging. And fun, all-in-one great podcast. Disclaimer, I'm a millennial, and I don't have a beard, and just happen to be the true ninja.
That's okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's Hitler. Thanks for all you guys and girl do for the kingdom. My faith has been strengthened and fortified by God's grace. Jason J. Oh, well, so, okay, his name is Titus Sibbs, but now it's Jason J.
Interesting.
Maybe whoever wins this thing should get to fight you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you want me to talk about the...
Quickly, and we'll go right back into the discussion on the church.
Quickly.
Okay, so everybody knows about the donation drive right now. Round trip, airfare, hotel, in the studio with us for an episode. You will go to dinner with us. We got interesting last week. James White did my Bible study for me last week. Went to dinner with Gary DeMar on Monday. We got John Samson in the studio. Man, God's blessed this church with some great help.
Yeah.
All right.
Some awesome dudes.
Yeah. But speaking of going to dinner, we're going to take you to dinner at Fogo de Chao when you come out to be with us. And $25 donations, each $25 gets a raffle ticket, goes into the raffle for the drawing for the gift. And then we have also asked, we're asking you to do the likes, 10 friends, like us on Facebook, and share your favorite episode on your social media. But Luke has a new thing.
So we're going to do a one-day only special offer for this. And it will be on Sunday, August 1st. So it'll be the last day of the...
August 31st.
I'm sorry. I wrote first, like a ding-dong. 31st.
That should be your new nickname.
Ding-dong. Okay, anyways. Okay, Sunday, August 31st, from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. All the whole day. Remember, it's Mountain Standard Time. Okay, one day only. For every $200 donation, you will get an exclusive t-shirt. We'll do just for this one day. So you'll be one of maybe one. You know. You will also receive a signed copy of The 12 Whatabouts by Mr. Samson Claus.
John Samson.
Claus.
Claus.
You will also receive a copy of Babies Are Murdered Here. And you will get a signed photo of us, if that's worth anything to you.
Yeah, that's fun.
Maybe we can sign it with our beards.
Nice. Well, I'll pluck some beard like fur and place it on the picture.
We'll do some artwork with our beards. Some beard work. Okay. And finally, so normally with the way this raffle works, if for every $25 you get one entry. So for $200 you would get 8 entries, but we're going to go ahead and give you 10 entries. We'll
nice.
Two bonus.
Extra entries for the gifts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All this cool stuff. August 31st.
August 31st, one day only. $200. Again, one exclusive t-shirt, signed copy of 12 Whatabouts, copy of Babies Are Murdered Here, signed picture of us.
And a box of English tea.
Yeah.
And a box of English tea. That might turn people off. I don't know. Yeah.
You can donate that to someone else if you don't like it.
And 10 entries into the raffle.
Sweet. All right, guys. So go to apologiaradio.com, guys, and do that. All right, so back to the discussion now about life in the church. Now, John, I was making a point when we left there that it's interesting when I get phone calls or emails from people that are asking me for pastoral help.
Yes.
I want to care for anybody that God's put under my care.
Yeah.
But if you're not involved in a local church, then the truth is it's strange. I'm not your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not my responsibility.
Yeah.
And
you won't answer to God for them.
That's right. That's a good point. And here's the deal. Just leaping in a church membership and having leaders and obeying the leaders you have, they care for your souls. It's important for church membership.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know who I'm responsible for? How do I know who I have to answer for if there's no church membership?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for the people in your church.
Right.
They're my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's John's
right
responsibility. John right has to care for them. He's going to answer to Jesus. I'm not going to answer to Jesus for the care of the people that John is caring for. And you're not going to have to answer for mine, except for what you've taught them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you're good there. Don't worry.
I hope he thinks so.
Yeah, yes. But let's talk about that, just church membership in the light of that.
I think we need to kind of back up a little bit and just get the big point is, when Jesus commissioned people to be his spokesman, he called them his apostles, and he armed them with his message. And of course, there was a 70. I remember that scripture, I believe it's Luke 10, where he said, "The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." And that's the biblical principle seen in the Old Testament times and in the New as well. To reject the prophet of God is to reject the God of the prophet. To reject the message is to reject the one who authorized the message. And if Jesus has authorized his apostles, and what we have in Scripture is God-breathed material, theopneustos, it's him speaking to us, which Jesus confirmed in Matthew when he said, "Have you not read what was spoken to you by God?" Quoting the book of Genesis. His view of the Bible was it's God speaking to you. That's true of the Old and the New Testament. Then we need to back up and think, right, when I'm reading Hebrews, when I'm reading Ephesians, when Ephesians was written, when Galatians was written, there was an assumption from the Apostle Paul that all the Christians in Galatia would hear it, that they'd be at the gathered assembly to hear what he said when the elders and the people got hold of that fire-breathing letter, which was just an amazing declaration of the gospel. He believed that all the Christians would get hold of that message. When we come to Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, that's Jesus, through the writer to the Hebrews, commanding his people, as you see the coming of Christ more and more, you should be gathering more and more, gathering together. It's not a Christian assembly when two Christians are together just having fellowship. There's elders in place. Paul made it very clear. Appoint elders in every city, he wrote. There's this, people say, but I'm not sure I like authority. Well, I'm sorry, this is the kingdom of God we're talking about, where law number one in the kingdom is that he's in charge and you're not. And as king and lord of the church, he's commissioned his apostles. Now, you know, we could talk about apostles, but really I think elders are in place now, taking the place of the 12. And in the local assembly, God has commissioned the care of the people in the hands of local elders who will be responsible for the what they do with the sheep. And then we need to talk about what is a true church. And then we are to be members of the true church. And whether or not there are issues we need to talk about regarding each local church and things we might disagree with, is it a fully blown New Testament church? The command of God is you better join it. You better be part of something, because Jesus has commissioned the church and he's building his church. And his way of nurturing you, the Christian, is through the ministry and outreach of the local church. If you're blessed by other means, great. There are parachurch organizations. We love them. We thank God for Bible colleges and seminaries and all of that. All of these things have their place, but Jesus never said, I'll build my seminary. Mm. He never said, I'll build this particular ministry out here. He said, I will build my church. Yes. And we ought to be part of what Jesus is doing. And Jesus loves the church. He gave himself for her.
Yes. So say you're talking, John, to a person today that says, well, John, I listen on Sunday mornings to KPXQ. Mm-hmm. I listen to Family Life Radio or mm-hmm. whatever they might be listening to. And they say, you know, hopefully they're not watching TBN. Please mm-hmm. help us. Or there are these new things today, like television. It's lifechurch.tv or, you right. know, it's sort of like a church on television.
Yes.
Or you go into a place where the pastor is piped in mm-hmm. through, like, you know, it's a webcast.
Yes.
You go to this place to watch a screen. It's like, just stay home, right? What's
right,
the point?
Right, right.
So talk to that for a second.
Well, you've got that. You've got church hoppers who at 1 week they're at one place, 1 week they're at another. Again, how did they, I need to ask them, how did they obey Hebrews 13:17? Mm. How do you obey that? Yeah. Can you do that from your home? I know that some people are what we call providentially hindered. They're sick, they can't get to a church. But unless that's the case, it's like the thief on the cross who's nailed to the cross. Unless that's the case, you can't really be baptized if you're nailed to a cross, right?
Right, right.
And you can't really get to church if you're not well enough. But if you're able-bodied, God commands you mm-hmm. to assemble with the gathering. And people say, but I go to church sometimes and I don't get anything out of it. What we need to then address is, who said that your feelings are in charge here? Mm. I don't remember any of the meals I had between the ages of 8 and 11. And people say, I went to church, I don't remember the sermon. I don't remember the meals I had, but I'd be dead without it. If I didn't eat between the ages of 8 and 11, I'd be dead.
Yep.
And God has commissioned the feeding of the sheep through the elders of the church, qualified people who are to handle the scripture properly and to hold people accountable. So the person that is just sitting at home, I think, can they be saved? I believe you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But can they be an obedient Christian? No. Can they stay at home with an attitude, I don't need church? I question whether they're truly saved, because the regenerate heart is one that wants to obey Christ. And Christ, through his apostle, commands us to assemble together.
Amen.
Apology Radio will be right back.
Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Gospel heard around the world. Look the Bear, Joy, the Girl, Samson Claus. All right, so we're back. Discussion about the church. Wanted to have a moment here where we discuss, sort of unwrap a little bit more what we've been talking about. Luke, what are your comments about this discussion?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, I think, in my experience, and I think, Jeff, you would probably echo this, and John, you probably have the same experience, but it seems anytime we've had a discussion with someone that is like doesn't want to become a member of a church, the reason why they don't want to become a member of a church is because they don't want accountability. They don't want to have to answer to somebody. They don't want somebody, quote, telling them what to do, you know. So, of course, we would always, you know, bring that back to scripture, but that seems to be what I've encountered.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're saying, I'm not going to become a member of a church, well, why?
What are your motivations?
Yeah, exactly.
Motives. Well, why? What is it within you that's causing you to fear that kind of life and experience within the body? Yeah, but I agree with you. I think there is that subtle kind of lurking in the back of your mind or heart. Like, I don't want people to get into my life.
Yeah.
Now, you might just be struggling with someone that you've just been a loner your whole life. Okay, well, get past that. That's life outside of Christ. God never intended for loneliness to be a part of our lives, because God is not lonely. He's a community, the Trinity, triune God, His Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in delighting and intimate relationship from all eternity to all eternity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He creates His image in the world, and so loneliness is really a result of a fallen condition. Because we're never to be lonely as image bearers of God. Number one, we're never to be lonely ultimately because of an intimate relationship with God, a relationship with our Creator. There's never a moment where we're outside of His gaze or outside of His grip. So loneliness itself is a lie, okay, for Christians. But then in particular, too, God didn't just – He doesn't just create the world and put Adam in it. He creates Adam and Eve, and then He says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And so He gives a dominion mandate and – you know, all of that. So He creates people. And then when Jesus saves, He doesn't just save one person. He gives His life for the church, which is it includes everybody, all of His people from all tribes, tongues, peoples, nations. They come into one body, not just Jews, but Greeks, not just slaves, but free, not just males, but females. And so there's this diversity. And so the whole thing of like being a loner, it's not to say like you got to be the social butterfly, you know, as a Christian, but you do certainly have to break out of that isolationism that I think is indicative of a fallen condition. And so, okay, so get over that. And the second thing is, you know, you need people to speak into your life, to confront you, to challenge you, to encourage you, to lift you up. I can tell you right now, Luke and Joy and I, just in the over 4 years of Apologia Church, have experienced a lot together just in this room by way of challenging one another, by way of encouraging one another, by seeing each other fall down and get up again and struggle. And so that's life in the body. You're talking to people that have experienced, or you're hearing from people that have experienced that life. Luke gets to challenge me and has challenged me as a brother in Christ and as a pastor. And the same goes back for him. And it's how life works. And I need that. I'm saying as a pastor, listen, if you're listening to this show and you're not involved in a church and this church blesses you, listen to me when I say this. I need that. I need people to challenge me. One of the best people in my life to challenge me are some of the best are the ones that are closest to me within church. Not in my marriage, too. Having a wife is one of the best, most sanctifying things ever because your wife sees the worst of you and the best of you, and she can speak into your life and encourage you. All right, but go ahead. Let's talk about that. Joy, you got something to say about that? With your space cat shirt?
Yeah, I guess so. I can say something to that. I definitely... I think that it's important if you feel like you don't belong in a church to check your heart. First of all, as we've at length said, you shouldn't feel like that if there's not something else going on. You should feel like you want to be. If you're a new creation, then you should feel like you want to be with other believers. I hear people describe all the time the... like sort of instant connection you have with other believers. And that's only stronger when you're under the same pastor going through struggles as a body. But there's definitely a reason if you feel like you don't want to be, it's not just, this isn't our opinion, it's from the Word. If you have a reason outside of the Word that you don't want to be in church, then that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. And you should probably check your heart. I mean, to be completely transparent, there was a time several years ago where I was struggling with some stuff, and I asked Luke and Jeff to church discipline me because I didn't want to be under accountability. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do, and that's why I asked them. I said, please just church discipline me so that I can do what I want to do, so I can just live my life and never come back here again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a pretty dark place to be in. If it sounds uncharacteristic of me, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was definitely not where I am today. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of that had to do me not wanting to be accountable. And it's something that I still struggle with, this idea of looking like everything's okay and sort of protecting your image. But if you're so intent on doing that, then you've made yourself into an idol that you have to protect. If you're protecting your own image, then you are idolizing yourself and you can't let anyone see what's going on. You have to look shiny and golden.
It's idolatry. It is. Yeah. Protecting that image you put up of yourself, which isn't healthy, because if you put everything into that, then the moment that you don't live up to that yourself, you're in despair, you're depressed, you're sad, you're broken, and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about this Sunday, right? Was the issue of our identity in Christ. We can be real with our sin. We can be open with each other. We can actually be in community together in a healthy, whole way, because our identity's in Christ. I'm not identified forever now in before God as my sin, as my past. Right. I'm identified as in Christ and righteous in Him. So as a Christian, I can be real. I can be honest. I can be transparent. If I sin, I can say, you're right, I did do that. Please forgive me. Because I'm not trying to protect some image, perfect image of Jeff. I'm in Christ. And so I can be real with my own sin and say, that's true. I sinned. I did that. I'm going to confess that. I'm going to turn away from that. That's not who I am. I'm in Christ. And so, beautiful. That's life in the body. Mm-hmm. That's life in the body. John?
I think we need to talk about so many issues when this comes up. And one of them is what to look for in a church.
Right.
There's such a thing as false churches, and we need that concept in place so we're not part of a sect or a cult. A true church is marked by submission to the Scriptures, not by its size, not by its influence. You can have a true church of 7 people.
Yes.
You can have a false church of 7,000.
Yes.
It's not measured by its influence in the community. A church that hears and obeys Scripture can't help but reach out to the society around it. Mm-hmm. But the mere presence of programs and a gathering of professing believers doesn't necessarily mean that a true church is present. So perhaps we'll take a look at what are the marks of a true church.
Exactly. So we're saying get underneath the care of pastors and elders and in a community of believers, come into a covenant of membership with them, but where, how, what do I look for? Right back, guys, ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Your grace is sufficient when I'm being a chicken out in the streets, not witnessing, I'm still forgiven. It's easy to preach with a mic, but I'm slow of speech like Moses when I'm toe-to-toe in the streets, right? But I can't let it stop me. The word still got to go forth. Then I just got to stop
y'all.
The hypocrisy. There's no time to stop.
Talking about
the world and the church. I'm
the
out.
Church.
Somebody's got to keep speaking it.
So John Sampson. All right, John. So the question is, I want to be with God's people. I desire that. What do I need to look for? Because we need to have the discussion. You need to be in a healthy, solid church. There are bad churches. You'd be crazy just to walk into any church that's on a corner to go to it. You'd be crazy to seek out for a church, spiritually speaking, Seek Out a Church just because it's the biggest one with the most programs, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That church looks very popular. They have fog and lights and smoke, and they've got a kajillion things for the kids to do. And mm-hmm. there's wonderful slides, elephant yeah. slides, and and lots of popcorn. They give you popcorn on the way in, you know, mm-hmm. and they have convenient little kiosks where you can slide your card to do your giving there. I love that. And they have a fancy website, and you have a great band, and it's a great rock band. I feel like I'm at a concert, you know, uh-huh. right?
Right.
And so is that what I look for? Or, John, what should I be looking for in a solid, healthy church?
Well, the first thing I would say is
Calvinists.
I look at a doctrinal statement. I go to a website and say, what do they believe? And that's not where most people start. They go mm-hmm. by other things. They listen to the choir. They see what the youth programs are, and they look at things from a very consumer-driven vantage point. But if they're worshiping the wrong God, I'm not interested. If I remember someone was moving away from here in Phoenix to another state, and they had three churches they were interested in, and they said, would you check these out? Because you were my pastor till about a week ago. We're looking for a church out here. We have to move as a family. And I said, show me the websites where they are. And on one of them, I said, you know what? The first one I'm looking at, it looks like a modalistic church. I'm not sure they're sound on the Trinity. And I said, you need to ask the pastor, do you believe that God is one in essence and three in persons? And he wrote the question down because he wasn't used to that language. Yeah. And the man said, no. I said, well, there you go. You don't need to go there. And their response was, thank you for protecting us. We have a responsibility to not only nurture the sheep under our care, but if we're passing them on to a pastor, put them in the hands of a Christian pastor.
Yes.
And so when we look back at the Protestant Reformation, they were very clear that there were three marks of a true church. One being the faithful preaching of the word. And with that comes sound doctrine, the belief in not only God, but God as he has revealed himself in Scripture, the Trinity, the full deity and humanity of Christ, the substitutionary atonement of Christ, that justification, being saved, declared right before God, is by grace alone, not grace plus something else, not grace plus our baptism or something other than Christ alone. And there's no true church without the right proclamation of the gospel. In other words, if you have a group that denies any of the essential truths of the faith, it's not a church.
That's right.
If the preaching is not faithful, the life of the church cannot be faithful. It's an essential mark of the church. Luther said, in the empire of the church, the ruler is God's word. There's a church here in the valley. I've been to it three different times on three different occasions for three different reasons. And on each occasion, though it's a huge church, never once did they get the Bible out.
Huh.
Never once. And I'm not sure I can count it as a true church, though thousands flock to it. I'd rather have a church of eight people that is faithfully preaching the gospel every week than that church. And I would rather recommend that church to someone than the big one.
Yes. That's a good point. And you know, I think people are twisted a bit about that. They say, well, this is the popular church. They mm-hmm. must have it all right. Mm-hmm. They must be doing it the best. No. I mean, not.
It was amazing. The preacher got out and he got on a stool to share. He didn't want to say it's a sermon. He wanted to say, I'm relating to people. And he had all of the bells and whistles. He had video that had been worked on all week. It looked like NBC had been part of the production. It was so well done. We came to 20 minutes into his message and he says, now Jesus said something about this. And immediately my ears pricked up because, first of all, I was the only one who walked in with a Bible amongst the thousand. I couldn't see anyone with a Bible because the Bible was going to be on the PowerPoint screen.
That's right.
I want to see what the verses that come before the PowerPoint screen and yeah. the verses after. I want to check this, what I'm hearing out. And he said, now Jesus said something about it. I thought, great, we're going to get to the words of Jesus. And he says, and he looked at his watch and he said, we're running short of time. Let me just summarize what he said. And so we didn't actually get to the words of Jesus.
Yikes. Mm.
And I think that's the most important part of the service. Hearing the word of God.
Yeah. Not the words of man. Yeah, that's twisted. That's very twisted. And then I throw people a lot to say it's not the numbers, the programs, mm-hmm. and everything else, but it's, you know, is the word.
It doesn't sound American, does it?
Doesn't really at all, does it, right? But remember that Jesus changed the world. At Jesus' ascension, there were only 11 of those, you know, disciples mm-hmm. left. One had betrayed right. him. And that's what God used to change the world. So I'll take that Church of 11.
Amen.
You know, ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Listen, this is written for long-term visitors, non-committers who get the word but never get to work. At least not in conjunction with his church. They stay away and say they're afraid of getting hurt, but pain is never excused for disobedience. Church wasn't created to cater to your convenience. And God didn't give you gifts to be greedy with. Mission without the church is missing the main ingredient. I know I rushed in without much of an introduction, but
man,
membership is what we're discussing.
Stephen and Levi,
to a community,
dang.
To a covenant,
I know.
Doing the one another's
he likes to bring it.
Man, I love that dude. All right, guys. So talking about church, John's leading us through a discussion on what to look for in a healthy biblical church. Now, listen, this is important. You're not going to find the perfect church. Jesus died for a bunch of sinners, and so stop looking for the perfect church. Because if you could find it and you went in, you'd screw it up, so don't go to it. Right? So that's true. So, okay, if you're going to look for a church and a bunch of sinners, they are going to hurt you. You are going to hurt them. You're going to have conflict, and God's going to use that to sanctify you. Know that. Conflict will occur within a church, and God uses that for sanctification. It happens. That's what God does. No conflict is no exposure of sin. And no exposure of sin means it never gets dealt with. And so sanctification takes place in a context of a bunch of people really sinning against each other, falling into sin, and being there to lift each other up, love each other, forgive each other. That's why there's love one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, because there's a lot of messed up stuff happening in life and in the body, and that's where God sanctifies us. But you do need to find a healthy, well-balanced church. And so, now I'm going to say this. People say, Jeff, I love your show. I can't find many post-millennial churches around. Okay, look, listen. When you go to a Reformed church, you're going to go to Reformed churches that are filled with amillennialists and postmillennialists. That's what you're going to find, typically. It's going to be, I think, rare to find a lot of Reformed premillennialists.
Unless
you're Vocab Malone. But they're there. But it's typically amill and postmill. Listen, amill and postmill are so close when it comes to Christ as king and the nature of the kingdom.
Yes.
Okay, so I hope, from my perspective, I want you to find a postmillennial church. Great. But if you can go to a Reformed church, a solid Reformed church, you're typically going to find their amill, postmill mixed together. And okay, so that shouldn't be the case. Like, I'm not going to go to church because I love Jeff, post-millennial, and so stop. Get to a Reformed church. And so I'm going to say, get to that church. Don't worry so much about that. There's a lot of freedom amongst our brethren in this area, and it's supposed to be sharpening each other up and really getting together in the word on these issues as issues that we should be working together over time on. But you need to find a solid church. So John, what's left?
Mark number one was the true preaching of the gospel. Number two was the sacraments rightly administered. That, again, doesn't come up high on our priority list. But for the Reformers, the second mark of the true church is the faithful administration of the sacraments, which were baptism and the Lord's Supper. You remember in Acts 2:42, it says the disciples continually gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine. That meant they showed up where the apostles were. They didn't just get a tape. They weren't tapes back then, or CD or whatever. They went to where the apostles were, and they heard in the gathered assembly the faithful exposition of Scripture, which back then was the Old Testament. Now we got old and new. The preached word in the general gathered assembly, prayer, fellowship, the Lord's Supper. So baptism and the Lord's Supper were two components of what we call the sacraments. And as followers of Christ, our lives should be built around the commands of Christ. I've been saying that through the broadcast. And as the Lord of the church, through his apostles, Christ summons his people to gather together to worship him each Lord's Day in the assembly of the saints. And that being the case, now think through this, is it not right that Sunday morning church, or whenever it is that we've agreed we're gathering as a church, that's the first thing scheduled on our calendars each week, not merely something that may happen if we can fit it in, after scheduling all sorts of other activities? I believe the answer for the disciple of Christ is yes, it's the first thing on the calendar. It's both the duty and delight of God's people, if Christ is Lord in more than name only, that we set that time aside as sacred. That means it's part of our worship, not only to come, but in terms of how we come. I say to our folk, and it's going to challenge them, part of our worship on a Sunday morning is getting a good night of sleep the night before. Not be out till 3 a.m. at a party. Why show up at church where you're bleary-eyed, you cannot pay attention to the sermon? Is that real worship? That's challenging. But again, we're so used to a consumer-driven society. I'll fit it in if I can. Mm. But are you fitting in obedience to Christ when you can? It's here we really show our submission to Christ in very practical terms, making Sunday church the highest priority. That's not popular, but I believe it's biblical. That's the way it was. As Hebrews 10:24-25 says, don't neglect it. Don't neglect. Why? Because that's God's means of maturing you. He might use other things in various different times in your life, but the regular gathering together of the assembly of the Christians under the sound of God-appointed elders exposing the people to the Word of God is the means, one of the means of grace in the life of the Christian. The third mark was church discipline. Not popular to talk about that, but you can't see Jesus and have him as Lord and not listen to what he says. And in Matthew 18, yep. He says, tell it to the church. And there's implications in that. There's a discipline involved. This entity called the church has a government. Oh, it has a form of discipline. It is membership. It is standards of belief and conduct. It has meetings in which it is constituted as the church. One can be included and excluded from it with eternal repercussions, and that's all implied from tell it to the church. That's all implied in that.
Hmm. Yes.
So my advice, in fact, it's more than advice, is actually if I'm a faithful pastor, I'll say Christ commands every Christian to find a church home, settle in, and church jumping is not an option.
Yes.
Hmm. And we need to start from there with the idea there's a church, hopefully locally, that is faithful to the gospel, may not have every theological point the way you believe, but they don't preach heresy regarding the person of God, the person of Jesus, and they've got the gospel right.
Yeah.
They administer the sacraments rightly, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and there is church discipline. And without it, there's no protection for me and for the flock.
Yeah.
And it's actually for my protection.
Huh. That's good.
That we have church discipline.
And can I say something in light of what you just said? I think this is important, John. We need to talk about this. Okay, you walk into a typical church today, especially the big ones. There's some great big churches that do it well.
Yes.
Okay, so we're not arguing with that. But, yep. You know, typical kind of on the corner, it's a big church, popular church. And the sermons, like, is there a new series on sex and a better sex life? Mm-hmm. And there's a new series on how to raise a proper puppy. Like, yes. You know, it's like, you know, just crazy.
Green and grass.
Joy, yeah. Joy would be all about that.
How to raise a reformed puppy.
Have you heard about the new series on space cats at that church? So, okay. And now this gets to an important point. Okay, we should be encouraging people to look for a church that is doing the typical Sunday morning on a regular basis, expositionally, yes. Moving through the Word of God,
yes.
Not simply how to make your life better in 7 steps, mm-hmm. How to be the great man, mm-hmm. How to be the great wife. And this disturbs me, too, is when you have churches that advertise a series on sex, mm-hmm. to the public. You know, mm-hmm. that's gimmicky.
Yep.
I know what you're doing, mm-hmm. and I'm disturbed by it. Yeah. I don't think we should – I'm not saying we should not be not talking about those, mm-hmm. sort of things in a biblical context in our communities. Great. God created sex. We should absolutely highlight it as a beautiful gift from God, and we should talk about how in our marriages – you know, that's stuff that takes place within the body of Christ. But you don't sell that to the public.
Right.
And if you're going to a church that does 20, 25-minute messages that are gimmicky messages that are all about you and how you can be a better you and, you know, all those different things – something's wrong. You're not going to get fed.
Yep.
You're not going to deepen in your walk with God, in your relationship with God. You're not going to be fed the whole counsel of God.
Yes.
That's very important to be fed and be given the whole counsel of God. You should be challenged.
Yes.
If you can go to church for a month and never be challenged by your pastor, and I'm not saying be challenged on you should be the great dad on your block kind of a thing. But I mean challenged like about your sin and about sanctification and about loving one another and about serving Christ and being obedient to him and living it. If you're not being challenged, it's not church.
That's right.
It's not church. If you walk out of every message And it's just this fluffy feel-good message of marshmallows and pixies and Precious Moments dolls.
And space cats.
And space cats. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that in the whole issue of church jumping, okay, listen, if you're not under the authority of pastors, then you're avoiding even the opportunity for yourself to be disciplined.
Yes.
So that you can be healed.
Yes.
What's the whole point of church discipline? It's not to ostracize people and to cut them off and say, die. It's to say, please come back. Please,
and it's not for the elders to flex their muscles and say, we're in charge.
I
shake in my boots when I have to do church discipline.
It's the worst experience ever. Let me say it as a pastor. Luke knows. You're in tears. You're crying up to the point of like getting to church. Yep. You're crying. You're begging God, please don't let this happen, God. Yep. Please bring repentance. It's the worst experience ever for a pastor. It's the nightmare of being a pastor. But we have to do it to be faithful to Christ. One night, Luke and I, we fought for 2 weeks, young church, a lot of people coming out of addiction, right? When we first planted Apologia Church, and we had to do church discipline, and these are people who had never experienced life in a church. One night, Luke and I had to do church discipline on three people in one night. Mm-hmm. Wow. And the whole church didn't know it was going to happen necessarily, and so we had to have the church stay after the sermon. We had to do three. Wow. Of these in one night. Mm-hmm. And Luke and I went into this. We thought if the whole entire church blows up tonight and we lose it all, so be it.
We've got to be faithful
to
God.
So be it. And that was a very rough experience. But here's a joyful ending to it. Of the three we did that night, two repented. And one, particularly one, I think one moved. One came back to church, came before the church, and now will testify to the whole church.
Yeah.
If this didn't happen, I wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
And he's married now.
Yes.
And Luke did his wedding. And in Christ, he's going to even be, hopefully, in the film we're making about Redeemed Rebels, addiction.
Yes.
Big things. And he would tell people, if this didn't take place, I would not be here today.
As scary as church discipline is for members, it's 10 times scarier for the pastors and elders. It's in that context of Matthew 18. Do you know that scripture we say, If two or three are gathered here, Jesus is here. Do you know that was said in the context of church discipline? And it's basically for elders. You may be shaking in your boots, and you might have to exclude people from the fellowship for the nurture and protection of the flock. But I tell you what, if two of you agree on anything, it'll be done for you. Two of you who? Church elders. It'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. It's a comfort to elders who are seeking to enforce Jesus' rule in the church.
Yes. That's the testimony of
yes.
God over you. You can do this. I'm with you.
You can do this, Jeff. I'm with you.
I'm with you. Yeah, yeah. And we that's
we take that completely out of context.
I am hanging on to that passage when I'm doing that.
God, thank you. You're with me as I'm exercising discipline for Martha, who's splitting up the church, who's speaking against people who will be unrepentant, and we can't get anywhere with her. Thank you that you're with me, even as I'm trembling to exercise church discipline here.
And the whole goal in church discipline is to put them out so that they repent to come back.
Yes.
And here's the identifying mark, too, by the way, of a Christian. If you are put out of the community of people that you love, that you're in one body together with, and you're truly Christ, you belong to him, being put out is the worst thing ever.
Mm.
And it's not because you just lost your club. It's because now you're not being fed. You're not being able to love those people.
You don't have access to the means of grace. So hopefully that will mean you're excluded from the Lord's Supper.
And you come back.
Yeah.
Because you're just broken and repentant and you're like, you know, I want Christ.
I've come to see that having the Lord's Supper is not a private thing. It's actually a governmental thing through elders in the context of the General Assembly. Mm-hmm. That's another subject altogether. But it's when you come together, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, you share in the supper together.
Yeah.
And to be excluded from that is to be excluded from a means that God has intended you to enjoy in his grace. And it should be a fearful thing.
Amen. All right, guys. We hope this broadcast blesses you, supports you. Listen, if you're a longtime listener of the show or new listener of the show and this show has blessed you and you're growing, can we encourage you guys to get involved in a healthy, well-balanced church, become a member of that church, come underneath the care of some pastors, and enter into that life of the body. Use your gifts. Love others. Be loved back. walk with Christ, be fed, be used by God for His glory and the exaltation of His Son in the world, but get hooked up with a solid, well-balanced, biblical church, preferably Reformed.
Glory.
For real. Reformed.
Amen.
All right, guys. God bless you guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at ApologiaChurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Minister Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, ApologiaChurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, ApologiaChurch.com.